Hi, this is Luca.
And this is Laura.
And this is the CareerBeat Talks podcast,
where we bring you the latest insights from the world of recruiting.
From both sides, the candidate's perspective and the company's perspective.
Let's jump right in. It is very interesting because I spend a lot of time looking at job ads. First of all, because we have a job board and we evaluate the job ads before we post them. I mean, at least we check that the facts are right and that talents truly can understand what the position is about. But then also because, of course, as recruiters for companies, one of the first things of how we start working with a company is looking at the job ad to understand who they are looking for. And I think already in that process of looking at a job ad, we see a lot of mistakes happening, and of course, also some really great job ads as well. So not everything is bad. Now, because I think a job ad is something that is so easy to improve, and these little improvements can make such a huge impact, I think it's very important that we talk about it from both sides again, because from the company side, it will be about how to improve your job ad. And from the talent, it will be how can you identify a good job ad from a bad one? And then, of course, also how can you interpret a job ad in the right way? So many things I think that can be very, very interesting. I think I already have one example of things I do not like about job ads. But Luca, you start.
Yeah, very interesting topic. The first thing that comes to mind for me is the job title. I think what I don't like so much, or what I would not recommend companies doing, is when you use these either very long and very corporate style of job titles, like Senior International Agency Revenue Manager, where the job title alone is like five words, right? So can you break it down, make it more clear what you're looking for? So a more clear job title on the one hand, and then also something else that people really search for online, right? So there was some time where it was trendy to have like a tech world and you're calling them IT ninja or something. We're like, okay, well, no, who is searching for that? How would they even find the job ad? So the job title should be clear, short, and to the point, and something that people also search on the internet for.
Absolutely. I think this is the most important thing to start with. Really think about the title. It can make such a big difference. I also like for companies to test out things. So for example, when we look for specific positions, we try it out with different titles because after a while, we realize, first of all, what are more talents attracted to, what speaks more to them. But also based on the title, we sometimes see like, wait, the wrong talents are applying. The title apparently is not really portraying what we're looking for. That is why we do some testing as well. And we also try to use now with our agent, our AI agent, some test things in the sense of like what speaks based on data most to talent. So this, I think, is very important. And one good practice about titles that I've also seen work very well is adding, you know, some little information if it's like a remote position, right? All these little benefits that could be really cool, you can add that, but it just needs to be one, okay? So don't list up every single benefit out there. I think that's also a good practice.
Maybe just to explain the last one a little bit more in depth. The idea here is to stand out in a, for example, when people use like a job website like StepStone, Indeed, or our own CareerBee, and let's say you'd have a more generic job title like event manager, for example, and then people search for event manager in Berlin, and then they see like 10 or 20 different event manager roles in Berlin. But if your job title also has a little bit of an explanation afterwards, for example, I don't know, the salary information or some other benefit that you want to disclose and that is attractive to candidates in that sense, then this helps you to stand out and they might click on your job title, right? I think that's the idea.
Exactly. Exactly. Point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely. So let us move on to, you know, the next part of a job ad. I think here it varies a little bit. Like companies, I think, also experiment. Some put like first what you can expect from this job, or they give a description of the job. Some start with the requirements. So I think every company kind of does a little bit what they think makes most sense. What about, Luca, if we start with the profile, like when they describe a little bit, not the profile, sorry, but the description of the job ad. What are their things that you see that do not really work very well?
Yeah, when you describe the tasks, right?
Exactly.
That's one of the most impactful ways. So a lot of times, especially, we get a job from a company, right? They usually have their own job ad. And I read through the job ad, I'm like, well, I don't even understand after talking to you what the job is now about. And sometimes I also notice a disconnect between like what in my briefing that I do with the company, they tell me, well, this and this and this is important and this is what they have to do. And then I read the job ad and it's something completely different. And I'm like, how does that happen? So really proofread the tasks as you write, really say, hey, and I would also rather keep it a little bit short. So focus on the 3 to 5 most important tasks that the person will be working on. This is not the official job description you will hand over later, right? So it does not need to have every small detail that the person will be doing, but rather focus really on the most important tasks that the person will be doing that give a very honest idea about the job and not trying to sell things that are really not the case. So here it's really see it like a realistic job preview so that the person can self-select, hey, do I have experience with that? And am I interested in doing this all day? Yeah. So this is really important. And use easy language. It's sometimes they are written so complicated and technically, I'm like, well, I don't even understand what that means here. So
true.
Yeah, keep it simple and short, I think, for the tasks. This is the mantra.
Yeah, and this was very interesting because we received some time ago one job ad and they selected that they want our AI agent to look at it, and it was very interesting because there were like I think 10 bullet points of the tasks expected, and I think the first thing that came out of this report was like way too many tasks, so we need to reduce it to like 5 maximum 6 and if shorter even better. And what we realized based on this report was that a lot of these tasks were repeating the same thing, just saying it in a different way. So really think about like, what am I repeating already? Like, what have I already said? And then it maybe makes it a little bit easier to summarize. And another thing that I came to realize when you make these bullet points, making them active verbs, like really, this is what you would be doing, you know? You take responsibility off, or you perform X, Y, Z. It just, you know, attracts the mind of the person much better because then you feel as if you were doing that and you can either relate or not towards the tasks as well. And I think you also mentioned this, Luca, which is like make a selection of the tasks that make sense to portray to the talent. So, of course, don't say everything, but those tasks that the most focus of this position will be. And if the position will change over time, then you can write in the first 6 months, the main focus will be on this and this task, okay? Because this also gives a realistic expectation. And then during the interview process, you have to do less explanation and you already know if there's a match. So I think plenty of things to work on. And I think because we didn't mention this yet, Luca, from the candidate perspective, when you look at these tasks, really read them, try to understand them as much as possible, and really like see yourself. Can I do this? Do I want to do this? You don't have to do it perfectly. Of course, you should also be able to learn on the job in a good company, but like really in like really read through it, really see yourself doing those tasks. Don't just apply for applying and to have like one more on the list that you apply to. Like you don't have to prove how many jobs you've applied to anyone. So just apply to those where you see yourself being able to want to do those tasks and to be able to do those tasks over time. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, especially with job searching, like quality over quantity, right? So we all hear this, you only need to fulfill 50% of the requirements that the company is writing about. And to my experience, most of the time, that's not true because there's a certain level of hierarchy among the requirements. Yeah? So for example, when a company writes requirements, and it's sometimes it's just a third bullet point, but they write, oh, you need to have multiple years of experience doing exactly this, that's usually not something they want to negotiate about. But another requirement bullet might be, we're looking for someone who can or who has a strategic mindset. Of course, that's way softer and it's not as clear cut to tell, right? So, of course, that's not something they might require that strictly. But yeah, really look for especially these like experience wordings. Like that's something where you then need to self-select out, maybe also because you say, okay, I don't have any experience in it already. Even looking for a senior with multiple years of experience in this area probably does not make sense to apply. Rather search for jobs that maybe are more fitting for your profile, for example, a junior role than in this case. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let us now move to one of the next typical sections of a job ad, where we talk not about the tasks, but actually, you know, the requirements. We were already going a little bit into that, the requirements expected for a job. What mistakes do we see there? A lot of times.
I think I can just use this example also for the company side. Of course, please only include requirements that are really important. Yeah. No, you don't have to make a super long list. And for example, one of the red flags that I see sometimes is when the requirement list has more bullet points than the task list. They're like, totally. Okay, that's a simple thing. It just comes off in a negative way, right? You would be super picky, but actually the job is quite boring or something like this. So if you keep the task short, then please also keep the requirements short and really think about what is really important to you. What is someone who is interesting for you, who you want to have a first call with, what do they really need to have? Because people are really different and it's hard to fit everyone in the same boat, yeah, and say, oh, we only can consider those type of people. So really think about it. What you can also do here, if you think, still I have some requirements, the list is getting quite long, but it's important. Sometimes you can also make the test of distinguishing must-have versus optional requirements. So you say, okay, this is what someone really needs to have. If you are into software development, you need to have at least some formal education in software development. I cannot teach you the basics of software development. Okay, that's definitely a must-have. But do you need to be an expert in exactly this plugin or in this type of programming where some other language might be similar in a logic and it's easy to pick up on, then maybe that's just an optional requirement. And then in your job ad, you can distinguish between those two. You can say, hey, the following are must-have requirement, at least maybe three must-have requirements. And then you can write, additionally, it would be nice, but not necessary if you bring one of the following. And then you can specify those things that are maybe more like nice to haves. Yeah. So this also helps candidates then again to self-select and make it easier than the matching process. And in the end, if you have a better matching process, the candidates are more happy, you are more happy because you're getting better applications and better candidates from your agencies and headhunters. So yeah, that really helps, I think.
Totally agreed with what you just said. I think also here it's very important that before you make those requirements, I mean, we have different perspectives, right? If you are the HR person, then of course you also need to discuss with the department who's hiring, unless it's for the HR team that you're hiring, but then really make a discussion and really try to figure out what are these must-haves, what are the nice-to-haves. And then also as hiring manager, do understand that those requirements that you put on paper, these will be the keywords that the recruiter will in the end search for in CV. So if a CV doesn't have one requirement, or, you know, even though this requirement could be learned on the job, then this person might already be deselected, making your talent pool a little bit lower. So it's very important to be very precise with what do you put on paper, what is really essential, as Luca just mentioned, and what not. And then also, and this is what you should discuss with HR, or, you know, if you work with a recruiting agency as us, discuss with us, what does the market currently also have as options when we look at the talent base? Because many times companies can portray the perfect candidate, but then this perfect candidate doesn't exist. And having an open position for, you know, 8 months, simply because you're not looking realistically into the market, won't also help you or your company. So it's very important that when you create this must-have requirements, you also keep an open eye for what is the market currently doing, like which is the talent pool I can access right now. So this is also very, very important to do. One specific thing that I've realized, sometimes I think it's getting less and less, but sometimes there's like specific years of experience that is required, you know, and it's very funny. Sometimes I see job ads where it's like 5 years experience in this, 7 years experience in that, and then 3 years experience in this. And I'm like, come on, like, do you really want each person to be calculating? Wait, let me think. How many years experience do I have in this area? Oh, okay. Yeah, I fit. And then also, again, some people learn the same thing in 1 year than others need 5 years for, right? So I think also like years of experience, with the fast changing environment that we're living in, I don't know if that should be the key metric to rely on when we look at talents. Of course, we can look at vast experience or, you know, general various years of experience, but like specific years, I don't know.
Yeah, it's really tough. I feel like sometimes we are a little bit lazy in our job analysis part, and instead of really asking, okay, which knowledge, which skill, which abilities are really necessary, we just say, well, I need someone who has done this exact job for 5 years already and they know what they are doing. Problem is, if someone has done this job already, why should they now switch to your company?
Exactly.
Because there's no growth involved, right? There's probably the same salary level. And every time taking a new job is a risk. Yeah. So you always need to ask yourself, well, why should someone be interested in this job? And if you just say, well, I need someone who's done the exact same job for multiple years already, like, it's going to be really tough to find someone. We have full employment in Germany at the moment. Everyone who is good in their job already has a job that is good paying. So yeah, how can you differentiate yourself? I think
yeah, that's the question. Yeah. Hi, this is Laura. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you're truly enjoying it. And if I could ask for one little favor from you, it would be that you make sure to follow this podcast and also rate it. This will truly make such a big difference for us here in CareerBee so that we start reaching more people who are looking for a job in Germany and also more companies who are looking for talents. Thank you so much for doing this. So also here for talents, I mean, definitely you need to check out those benefits, like read through them, try to see like how many of them, like can I really fit? Or if not, how could I potentially learn those things? Is there a way for me, is there an interest for me to get good at those things? And then based on that, you know, take the decision to apply or not. Also here again, just to summarize for the company perspective, like if you are unsure which requirements to put in there, or you're unsure, like, is this a must or not? Again, use our job board and then just check the mark of our AI agent, because we're happy to look into that and give you some suggestions based on what we can see from the job and of course, also the experience from the job market. And now moving to the benefits part. Interestingly enough, some of the jobs that are posted in our job board, when they just posted for the first time, do not have any benefits at all listed, right? Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The first advice should be put the benefits in the job ad, yeah, and not just write the tasks and requirements, right?
True, absolutely. I was astonished as well, but apparently that is still something that we should discuss because it really makes a difference.
Yeah. Because my first point was going to be how you should write the benefits if you do it, because I was thinking, well, everyone is doing it right now, right? You have the task requirements and then you have some, oh, this is why you should join us. But if you don't have benefits, add some benefits to the list. And how to do this? So what I would advise is, again, really think about the target group, the person you are targeting. Most companies, what they do is they have the same list of benefits that the HR, someone in HR has put together. It's 10 to 15 bullet points long. And there's included, oh yeah, we offer paid vacation time of X amount of days. And of course, if you work over hours, you get overtime. And we also have betriebliche Altersvorsorge, and you can get a Jobrat. And the problem is that they all read the same. And if you don't tie it to your ideal candidate persona, yeah, the person you want to attract, then again, the people are also just reading it and everyone's like, oh yeah, okay, the same benefits as always. And no one even mentions if the job rat is maybe included or it's not included. It's usually only used by 5% of a company, to my knowledge. Yeah, so really think about who are we trying to attract here and then write the benefits individually for the type of person we are attracting. For a salesperson, you should maybe more focus more on monetary benefits. For someone in more of like administrative but really collaborative environment, we should maybe talk more about the team spirit and about the events that you are doing. Yeah, so that's just an example. Again, I like to keep it short and concise. I also, in my job ads, I usually talk about the main three benefits right at the top. Why should you care about reading this? And then I'm going to talk about the tasks. But of course, that's up to you for decide. But again, the most important for me is that you think about what benefits really make sense for the target group.
Yeah, this is such an important point. On top, the benefits can be a great place to, you know, compensate or kind of motivate talents to become the ideal candidate, right? So maybe you want someone who eventually is fluent in German, it makes sense, but you know, you want to increase your talent pool, and for now you didn't put German fluency into your job ad because you trust the talent to learn. So in the benefits, you can put, you know, free German courses included, which then also, you know, motivates people to be like, oh, this is a benefit I get, so I should use it. So I, you know, should learn German, or that is even expected of me if that's listed as one of the benefits, right? So you can even use the benefit section to create things that encourage people to learn and become that ideal candidate. So I think this is also a wise thing to do in the benefit section. And this also applies for talents, right? So if you read through the benefits, of course, check if, you know, from the salary perspective and all that, if it makes sense, the overall package, but then also see like what additional benefits are they selling? What do they maybe want to tell me through those benefits? Because that many times speaks about the culture they care about. Is it a learning culture? Is it, you know, a culture where there's a lot of maybe team events? So, you know, it's very close knit kind of family. So really look into the benefits to get a better impression of how the company is selling themselves to the outside and what they truly care about. Anything we forgot to mention about job ads?
No, I think we summarized everything. I think that was quite a lot of details, but yeah, maybe save this podcast episode for the next time you're going to write a job ad, and then afterwards you can make a check. Hey, how does my job ad compare? Or of course, you can also reach out to us and use our AI service, where we automatically have an AI agent review your job ad and give some tips, right, Laura?
Absolutely. So if you are in the process of creating a job ad, then make sure to just go to careerbee.de/employers or our homepage, careerbee.de. Both places will take you to a button, post a job. And if you go there, you'll find the forms to fill it out. For now, you can post your job also for free. And the AI agent will do the check for you for free as well. Or we have a premium option where we really help you like access our much wider talent base. And if you're a talent looking for job ads, make sure to check out careerbee.de/jobs. We love helping you find talents and find jobs. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're super happy to have you here. And if you are a company who's looking for talents to expand their team, make sure to check out our services at careerbee.de, because there we explain how we help you find top talents much faster. And on the other side, if you're a talent who's currently looking for a job here in Germany, then make sure to also check out our website under careerbee.de/talents, because there you'll discover more about our brand new masterclass, where we really guide you step by step on how to find that dream job of yours. But in either case, you can also just send us a direct email to team@careerbee.de, because we're also super happy to address all your questions directly there. Wishing you a wonderful day.